Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
Oh, yeah. It's time for Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. It's a shame to interrupt this song. I'm pretty sure it's against the law to interrupt Back in Black. Just for all those AC/DC fans out there, you had a tough day at the office. Things just aren't going your way. We're about to change all that. As if you ever wondered what it takes to break from the herd, to take the podium, well, this is the show where we find out what it takes to get to the top. Because some people, they think they're not there because they didn't go to the right school, because they didn't come from a rich family, because they don't have access to capital. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's a lie. It's a lie you like to tell yourself, because I'll tell you a little secret. The people who are rich and successful are rich and successful because they simply decided that they're going to be rich and successful. It's self-belief. And the prison you're in is only in your own mind. And we're going to prove it tonight. And we're going to keep proving it on every episode of Eye on Careers. I've interviewed, I don't know how many millionaires, and looking for that differential, that edge, what was it? I know, I think we've had people on here who are self-made millionaires who have Stanford MBAs. We've also had people on here who don't have any education at all, who become multimillionaires. What's the difference? It's the way they think. It's the way they think about their life, the way they think about their careers. And 90% of the stuff that we think is false. You don't believe me? Why don't we just take something simple like the king of the jungle? If I ask you who's the king of the jungle, you're going to say, the lion's king of the jungle. But lions don't live in the jungle. Tigers do. Lions live in the grassy plains of Africa. That's a lie. There's so many things when you start to look at it that you've been fed that just don't measure up. Tonight we have a really great lineup besides AC/DC, which was totally awesome. Sorry, we also have Faisal Mamon, the founder and CEO of Illusions Online. Again, a guy who's completely self-made. His business is, I couldn't keep up with all the accolades. He's one of the fastest growing companies, I think, on the face of the planet. And he's going to be talking about how he made it. I think he looks like he's about 17 years old here. He's in the studio now. And he is also an AC/DC fan. So those are two major pluses that we're looking at already, and we haven't even started yet. And then we have Dr. Brenda from SB Jain Business School is going to talk a little bit about where education and the role of education, how it's changing, and what that MBA degree or business degree is going to do for you. And then we have a really exciting entrepreneur, a true self-made man. He lost his shirt in the real estate crash. You know, this guy was not even did he lose his shirt. I mean, he went into the negative. We're talking millions. And at one point, there was maybe even a warrant out for his arrest because it was that bad, the debts. But he pulled out of it, made his money back. I don't know. He also owns several companies. He's going to talk about what it takes to come back from failure, to come back when life knocks you down, when it knocks you off and puts you down. How do you pick yourself back up? You know, that's the main difference. One person gets put down, they stay down. These guys, they don't stay down. They don't stop. The harder you hit them, the harder they hit back. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. But enough for me. Let's bring our first guest on. Let's hear a little bit about his background before he comes on, just to prep you on who is Faisal Mammon.
This is Eye on Careers, Executive CV.
Faisal Mammon is the founder and CEO of Illusions Online. He is the driving force behind Illusions Online and the leading technology that they provide. Born in Dubai, Faisal moved to Bombay to complete his schooling, and in spite of excelling in his academics, he admits that it was a chore to complete his master's. Perhaps the reason behind his impatience was that at the age of 19, tech-savvy Faisal had already set up a thriving little business from his bedroom. "I was always into technology," he says. Hard work, perseverance, and sheer determination saw Faisal move pretty quickly, going from the bedroom to the boardroom, growing the team under the Illusions name, and fast becoming an important player in the technology field. Despite the huge success, he wasn't satisfied. He says, "I had so many trophies. We'd accomplished so many things, but I needed a focus to take the company forward and create a brand, and I constantly asked myself which one system that we had developed could I make a product out of." Having had 4 offices in 3 continents, Illusions is now among the world's top tour operating systems in the travel technology market. Illusions Online now has clients across 5 continents, and a busy team is now centralized out of Dubai's Media City. There are 30 professionals working there who believe in the same vision as their leader.
Oh yeah, Faisal, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here. I mean, it's a pleasure being here.
Got to give you a little back in black. You're actually in black, so it's all matching up tonight.
Absolutely.
This, you know, I think there's the secrets of success actually in the song, because when you actually look at AC/DC, what they do, they're so focused. They play a very particular type of music, and in fact, I think they only use like 3 chords.
Yep.
You know, but they just do that fundamental thing so well. I mean, is that part of being successful in business? Is it about just getting those fundamentals right?
I mean, like you said, you know, it's all about the focus and it's all about the passion. And you know, obviously trying to specialize into something that you're really good at and something that's very unique and separates you from the pack. That's pretty much what, you know, being a businessman or running a company or actually, you know, delivering basically the best quality product and the service to your customer is all about.
So how did this all start? Like, were you back in the day selling lemonade on the lemonade stand? Or
no, a little bit far from that. No, I was just...
We know you weren't studying anyway. That's
I tried. And my dad's listening in, so I've got to say, I mean, he's the one who really pushed me in. As far as technology was concerned, it was just one of those passions I just had. And, you know, I guess being a part of an engineering family, I mean, you know, my dad and my brothers are all engineers. I'm the youngest of the pack, and you know, just
took of the pack. How many is there?
Four brothers. So yeah, and
like wolf cub or what?
I think you should check my mom about that. But yeah, so I did my normal schooling and got into engineering spent 6 months in a company, learning about hardware and learning about actually really low-level computer stuff. And somehow that just didn't excite me. I mean, it was good.
This is after your master's, like you...
This is when I was 19. This is basically...
This is your summer job.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like an internship, you know, as part of the curriculum. And the last six months, the 8th semester, basically, I got into a software company. And the only 2 things that I got there, which I believe is really still very fundamental, is... a computer, right? This is 1993, and lots of books in this library, and it was like just awesome because you just go in there as a student, you can't afford half, you know, like half a book there, But you know, you just sat there and basically just played away, and I guess that was just when I discovered basically how much I loved software, basically.
It is funny now how things are changing, because the books, you can have 50 or 500 or 5,000 books right into the palm of your hand. So it's changing drastically. But so you started in a software company, but then you went back to school, did your master's.
Kinda.
What do you
Never
mean,
really.
Kinda? What happened here? There seems to be some kind of story here.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, you know, I just basically just kept doing what I was doing, and a lot of companies basically started approaching me, because, you know, this is the days when you had, I don't know if you remember DOS, you know, disk operating system, like this is like 1.0 days, right? And this is like when the black screen and the cursor blinking on your computer, and Windows was just kind of coming out, and Windows as you not know it today, this is like Windows 1.0, which is like, you know, really archaic. And the best, what I loved about that was just the GUI. The fact
who?
That you, the GUI, like
the GUI, what's that? Is that like
GUI?
Tech
yes,
term,
and
or?
The GUI. It's like a graphical user interface.
Ah,
for the layman out there,
the
yeah.
GUI, huh?
The GUI.
Was it good?
Sounds
it was cool. Good.
It was really good.
All
and
right.
And you know, you just yeah, you could use a mouse, right? I mean, this is awesome. You know, instead of just like typing away on a computer. But I guess for me, it was just the you know, things you could do, and it was about, I don't know, just building applications Okay, I have to admit, I did a lot of hacking, so that was part of obviously growing up. And
so you're a hacker.
Oh yeah, this is like right back in the days, and I realized that hacking can, you know, kind of make you have a lot of fun, but it doesn't really make you money, right? So
depends what you're hacking.
Yeah, but you know, I was a good guy. I was one of the good guys.
Of course,
I was just
you
hacking
were.
For fun.
Of course,
of course, yeah. Good advice. Look at me. Anyways, no, but then I realized that, you know, the real money is about actually providing and building systems and applications and technology for businesses, right? Because these are the days when, you know, everything was done with hand, right? And I'm talking from accounting to like, you know, running business operations, production, whatever. And yeah, The first time I used to do a lot of fun things, you know, making butterflies fly around the screen and stuff like that. But it was basically when I think my brother was getting married, and his best man ran a travel agency. And he said, listen, man, I've just got these two computers. I don't know what to do with them. And that's when he invited me over. And basically, that's when I wrote the first system, which was, you know, a software to automate stuff for him in his travel agency. Yeah.
So this is the story of Faisal Mamon. He's going to be telling you his secrets on how to build a multi-million dollar empire in just a minute. Hello and welcome back. This is Eye on Careers. And I'm your host, Shane Phillips. We're hearing the story of a man who's a self-made millionaire, started from scratch. He said, Shane, don't ask me any jobs about dealing with a manager. I never worked for anybody in my life. This is the story of Faisal Mamon. Welcome back, Faisal.
Thank you, man.
So you can't drink coffee and be interviewed on the radio at the same time.
That's all about being multitasking. That's what the business is all about.
It's just way too relaxed, brothers. No, but you've never worked for anybody in your life.
No, thank you. Know, hallelujah.
Come
never.
On, no, but you said there was that intern after that intern.
No,
it was an internship.
I mean, when you're an intern in a company, yeah, you know, nobody ever notices you, right? So you just like come in and go, and you know, so it's not really.
And then
like,
after that, you started working for yourself.
Basically, yeah.
What was the first job you did for yourself? The first company.
I was saying, I did this development for this travel agency out of Bombay, and you know, did that development. The guy loved it, and it just basically one thing led to another. So, you know, the whole thing, I guess, in any business for that matter. I mean, I'm not talking about technology or anything else. Is you know, whatever you do, for me, it was all about the passion of what we did. And when I say we, at that moment, it was just me alone, right? And I did a lot of corporate training. So I got invited by a lot of big corporate companies to actually come in and teach them all kinds of stuff. And I think that was a very, very interesting phase, because you know, as a 19, 20-year-old kid standing up in a boardroom and addressing some very old people.
What were you teaching them?
Stuff. You know, Office. This is like, remember,
how to use Microsoft.
Yeah, this is like the days when, remember, this has come out, right?
Okay.
It's from Lotus 1-2-3 on DOS to, like, you know, doing stuff on Windows, like I said. So I was one of those Windows geeks. I still remember I hack Windows in such a way that when you clicked on help and about, and you know, when you would see like, you know, copyright and stuff, and I had my you know, my name in there, and I would show that off, and people would be like super impressed. But it wasn't too difficult to do that stuff, right? But people were like, wow, you know, like, this is awesome, and you know, what else can you do? And they're like, hey man, look, I've just done this application. And they're like, oh cool, you know, why don't you come over and see if you can do something for us? And that's what it was all about, just one thing to another.
Wow. So, and then how did the company grow? I mean, like the first, was it always the same company? Like what was the first, the name of it when it started? Was it the same? Was it always Illusions?
No. In the beginning, I was just a self-proprietor. So I used to get people to just write checks off in my personal name. And my dad had to go and open a bank account in one of these banks.
So you were you didn't pay your taxes.
Can we move on to the next question, please? Did I just say I hacked Microsoft? I think I shouldn't have said that, right? Okay, let's move on quickly.
There may be a car waiting for you outside by the time this is done.
I came on the back road, yeah.
So after you moved from your sole proprietorship, quotations, what was the first registered business?
97. So I graduated somehow from my master's. And 97 is when I had one of two choices, because a lot of my mates, most of my mates actually, we all flew to the U.S., you know, higher studies and stuff. And I just was kind of already had a thriving business going on. Like, you know, I had these guys working out of my bedroom and we were still doing a lot of stuff. And again, my mom and dad were like, you know what, son, you know, we love you and everything, but it would be nice if you get these two strangers out of the house and, you know, do something with your life. And I had just one of, I guess, three choices, you know, just going out there and doing a master's or further studies in the U.S. with like most of my mates, or just go and work in another company, you know, which is a normal thing to do. And the third option was just carrying on doing what I was doing. And I opted for the latter.
And then that's when you registered as Illusions.
And that's when I registered as Illusions, yeah.
And why Illusions? Isn't that...
It just sounds so cool.
But it makes you sound like a magician.
We are, and I'm actually labeled like the master illusionist. You know, that's.
Well, what illusions do you need? You don't. You're a trickless magician.
You know what? The funny thing, you say that, right? Because for a technology company, this is like the worst name to have. Because you're like, hey, so you know, you're about to give me, you know, sell me some software. Because most of the people don't understand
like illusions are smoke and mirrors, though. So yeah. You make it sound like.
Like think of it like the cloud, you know, like this is a new buzzword in the industry today, right? And then what is the cloud? I think most people don't have a clue what it is.
They're foggy
on it.
It's
all an illusion, yeah.
So basically, because there's kind of like a magic around what you do when you create these websites and these interfaces, that's why it's the illusionist.
Yeah, I mean, it's like most people are pretty disillusioned when it comes to technology, especially in businesses, and especially in my industry, I have to say. I mean, when it comes to the travel industry, because we specialize only in the travel industry. We're not a software company. We don't like to call ourselves a software company. We are a travel technology company, so it's our own product. I mean, now we're talking like, say, what is it, 17 years from when we started. You know, basically we specialize in a complete cloud-based solution for the travel industry, so it's quite, you know, very focused in that sense, very niche, and a very specific segment of the industry that we actually cater for.
And so what was the growth like? 97, it was just you.
Yeah, well, the company started...
98, how many people were there?
Well, we grew really fast. In like 2 years, in 99, when I actually went to the UK for the first time, we were like already a team of about 12, 15, I think, people, developers. I mean, primarily just software geeks. And I was the main, you know, sales
super
force. Yeah, the super geek and yeah, the coffee boy and yeah, everything. And no, it was fun then. It's fun today. But
Then what? Then so 99. There's 15. So 2002.
Yeah. So well, 2002. Oh, we were 2002 in having offices in the UK, in India, in Dubai, and in Australia.
So you had four countries. And so then you were like 60 people.
I would say so. 50 odd people across the four locations.
And then by 2010, what were you? Or should we do pre-crisis, no, like 2007?
Yeah. No, 2007, I almost went bust. And literally.
That was before the crisis, though.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you go almost bust before the crisis?
Because we made
mistakes. You're ahead of the curve. You're always ahead of the curve. Huh? Even,
I know.
Even on the downside.
I tell you, right? I mean, this is funny. I mean, I actually say this with a lot of laughter, because I moved to the UK and I said, okay, I'm going to now, you know, set up a business in the UK, right? And this is 2000. And again, travel, okay? And this is when the UK was hit with the foot and mouth disease. And obviously people stopped traveling.
That mad cow disease?
Yes, oh, mad okay. cow disease. Okay. 2000, right? And there I am, set up shop, and hey, there's nobody there to buy my wares. But, you know, I have this kind of weird philosophy, this weird theory of giving myself 6 months, like whenever I venture into something new. And in 6 months' time, if I can't turn it around, you know what? I tried. But luckily, till date, it's always been, you know what, we get it done within 6 months' time. So it was like, okay, let's give 6 months. I've got my guys back in Bombay. They're still running my ship as far as the technology is concerned. And and you know, we signed like a really big deal with a big tour operator out of the UK in Feb 2001, and that was a massive deal. And we delivered basically the system, online bookings, the whole shebang by I think about August 2001, right? And I said, this is it. This is the next big thing. For me, this is like, you know what? I'm going to now just focus on travel. Because prior to that, we were a software company. So we would just sit and write software for any kind of business, right? But after that deal, I was like, this was the third travel customer. And I said, this is the holy grail. You know, like, because it was all about, for me, it was all about creating a brand out of illusions. It was not just being like any, you know, anybody else out there, because there's so many companies and there's so many software companies, especially out of India. I mean, my neighbor's dog could do programming for all that matter. So how can you make that, you know, yourself unique as an individual or as a business, as a corporation? And for me, it was always, like I said, it was like all these softwares we would do were like just, you know, trophies on the shelf. And I would just look at them and wonder, which one am I really going to go after? Because I just can't be doing everything for everybody.
This subscribes to my AC/DC success strategy, right?
Yeah.
It's just those three or four cores.
Absolutely.
You just go into that one genre and you own it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it was travel, right? And this is August 2001, and I said, that's it. And I set up a big office in the UK out of Richmond and, you know, hired people. And a month later, you had 9/11, right? And the world just crashed. And there you are. And, you know, we were like, okay, I had this big show that we were doing. I still remember the World Travel Market. It's one of the biggest travel shows in the world in London. And I was there with the big stand because I already paid for it. And the show was empty, right? Like, nobody just, like...
Really?
This is just post 9/11. Like, you know, people were just not traveling. And
I didn't think the UK, like, the Londoners didn't seem to care. Like, the subway got hit, and the next day they're there with, sausage sandwich and their coffee, and they're like, sure, let's get on with it.
But as businesses, I mean, for businesses, the last thing they're going to do is start spending money, right? Because the travel just, like, completely just dipped. But like you said very correctly, UK did bounce back a lot quicker. So the investment that we had done in terms of the company and the staffing and everything, we said, you know what, we carried on. And yeah, 2002 was one of the biggest years ever for us. We opened up Australia in April out of Melbourne, Dubai at the end of, so the Illusions Online Arabia office in Dubai has been here since November 2002. So that's about 12 years now. And we grew a lot.
I think, you know, when I look at people who aren't really hitting stride, you know, the two biggest mistakes they make is one, they don't believe, first of all.
Absolutely.
They look at someone who has the sure. all that, they say, oh, I can't do that. So the one difference is the belief. And the second one is the focus, you know, being hyper-focused in one area. People, so many times their career goes, you know, 5 years to the right, 5 years sure. to the left, and you're right back where you started. Sure. Congratulations. Mm. This is the story of Faisal Mamman. He's going to be telling you about how he made his millions, secrets to success, getting to the top. Within, I think, what was it, 4 or 5 years, he had offices in 4 countries today. How many staff do you have?
We have about 80 staff today.
80 staff today. We're going to find out how he did in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are listening to a real success story, a man who basically built his business from scratch into a multi-million dollar empire operating in several different countries. This is the story of Faisal Mamman, the illusionist. Faisal, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Shane. I appreciate that.
So the size, how many countries is your business in now?
We've got, Asia. So we've got Malaysia, Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand. Dubai, of course, is the head office, the headquarters. Egypt and Miami.
And Australia, right?
No. We shut that down.
You shut that
we
down?
Shut that down.
Went
yes.
down under.
Then, yeah, it did go down under. Yeah.
Really? Why? The Australians don't like traveling?
No, just as a business. Like I was saying earlier, I mean, we made mistakes. We grew too fast. We grew too big. And we, you know, I, when I say, I would take that. I mean, I'm one of the things I like to always do is take the blame upon myself. It's always easy to point fingers and, you know, and then pass the buck around. But I think I made a mistake of taking the eye off the ball. And at the end of the day, it was great fun. You know, like you're growing and you're expanding and you're signing up customers like all over the place, and everybody loves what you got. And what I forgot was basically, you know, the core of who we were. And we were a technology company and we were a product company. And I took the eye off the ball in the sense that, you know what, I gave away my product. I forgot what the core of the product was. And then suddenly we started having versions and differences, basically, in terms of what we were doing around the world. And that was a big problem for us, a big problem.
So what's the core then?
In technology, right? And we've been cloud-based since 2000. What I mean by that is that our technology is on the web. It sits in the cloud. So basically, you can access it no matter where you are. You can access it on a computer, you know, in your office or at home or whatever. So the whole core of the business has always been an internet cloud-based technology. When you're building a, you know, global platform, right? You cannot have differences. Like let me give an example. Think of a Hotmail or think of a Gmail. Or think of Facebook, yeah? Now, you know, people use that all the time. And at the end of the day, no matter where in the world you are, you know, you are on that same Facebook.com or you're on the same Gmail.com, right? So you cannot be having like a difference in the technology or in the functionality, you know, based on who the company is or who the user is. And that's where we went wrong. We started having differences. We started having versions. Without getting too technical, and that was a big problem, because when I want to, let's say for example, make a new set of functionalities, it was all about which version do I make that available in, and it just doesn't work in a business like ours. That's the complete recipe of disaster, and yeah, it brought us on our knees. I still remember I moved from the UK to Dubai in 2005. And two reasons. One was to get close to the Indian Development Center to try and actually, you know, get this back in order. And yeah, and just the fact that we were in Dubai, and this is where I wanted to grow the business as well. And it took us 2 years. I had to, like, I shut down the UK. I shut down India, which was like the biggest.
You shut down the UK.
We had to shut. Yeah, we had to consolidate. I had to consolidate everything down to basically getting the core back up and running.
Is that tough? You going in? You had to let everybody go.
Well, we kept a lot of the core. A lot of them have come back. A lot of them, I mean, still are with me. I mean, I've got a fantastic team. I mean, and this is like all over the world. The nicest thing I feel is that a lot of the core employees of Illusions and the staff of Illusions, the, you know, my so-called illusionists. You know, a lot of them have been my customers and my users, right? And this is just a fantastic experience for us, because they've been on the other side of the fence as a user, and the fact that they now are actually in Illusion servicing other customers and other users around the world is just a great gratification from that perspective. I remember we shut all of this down and we consolidated to a nice 600 square feet office out of Media City. And we were like about four staff, or five, I think, with my secretary. And
this was what year?
This is 2007.
2007, you were down to five people?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And then you came back now.
And
to
we still
80.
Had the customers. I lost a few. And this is, I think, as a CEO, that's the toughest thing I feel is, you know, when you work very hard to, like, you know, sign up a customer and then service that client. And the customer says, listen, man, you know what? You got a great thing going, but we don't know where you're going, right? I mean, this is like, we're not sure whether we can be part of that, right? A lot of them stuck with me, believe it or not. And this is awesome. And a lot of them, and most of them are still here enjoying the highs of where we are today as an organization as well.
So through all that, I mean, you've obviously been through a few bears and bulls, and it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride. What is, in your entire life, the toughest thing? You know, because sometimes people look at people like you and they say, oh, he had it easy, you know, but if he had to go through what I had to go through,
sure,
he'd be down in the dumps.
Sure, sure.
And I just find that so bunch of garbage. Because
that's all excuses, that's what I'm concerned, yeah.
Yeah. What? Maybe you could just share with us, you know, what's the biggest challenge you ever faced in your life? What was the darkest moment and how did you pull through that?
This is, I guess, more on my personal front. We lost our son in 2009 May, and he was born in Dubai, and you know, he pretty much passed away within 24 hours of the birth, and that was I think the worst moment ever. I mean, for me, for the family, we had an older daughter, and honestly, I was just lost. I mean, I was just completely disillusioned, if I can say that. I was just lost from a point of view of the business. I just didn't know what we were doing, and it was a very tough, I would say, phase of my life, and as a family, and you know, from a family point of view as well. But at that moment in time, I mean, the business was kind of running. It was back in shape. It was going on. I have to say, I had a fantastic team where I just said, listen, guys, I need time out, and this is again very important. As a business, as a company, as a corporation, to be able to have, you know, people you can just trust and say, you know what, guys, I'll see you in a month's time or whatever. And they kept it going. And the customers were very, very supportive. You know, the staff just carried on doing what they were doing. There was a big upheaval as well, because we left Dubai, we moved to Switzerland for about 10 months. I was jetting.
Oh, you just had to take a break.
No. I guess after we lost the son, it took us about 6 months just to piece our life together. And my wife was
pregnant. You obviously don't feel like working.
Done. It's difficult times, I guess. But my wife got pregnant again at the end of the year, and we just said, you know what, we're just not going to do it here in Dubai. And we left Dubai, we moved out of Dubai, moved to Switzerland, and I was jetting between Zurich and Dubai literally every week, every 2 weeks, because, you know, the business is still here. I mean, you know, I just kind of pretty much came back, and the family was back in Zurich, outside in Switzerland. And, I guess the biggest turnaround on the positive front was when my dude Noah arrived, who's my second son, basically. And
you named him Noah?
Noah, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And having him in our lives, and of course Iman is my oldest daughter. I think she's listening in, by the way, I have to say that. She was very upset because she wanted to be here on the show.
Oh, she could have. I mean, but if anybody's out there wants to send a message in or ask a question to Faisal, you can SMS us at 4001. That's 4001. If you have a question about starting a business or running your own show, you can ask us at 4001 or give us a ring at 04-423-1010. So, you know, you basically had to take a time out there. I mean, mm-hmm. But you still had people, I guess, to help you carry the torch.
Absolutely.
While you were down for the count.
True. And I mean, in a way, I did have to come back, because it's one of those things that life does to you, right? It beats you down, and you're totally down. And this is like when you just feel like, you know, all hope is lost, and you know what? You can just give up, okay? And that's always the easy thing to do. You can always give up, and you can always, you know, change your path and just go somewhere else, or just turn around. And I think that's the super key of success or whatever you want to call it, to be honest. It's about just standing up and just carrying on, focusing forward in terms of just going ahead, you know, after your vision. And it's easy to, like I said, I mean, just you know, like the excuses you were saying, you know, you can just beat yourself and just complain and make excuses, but it's all about carrying on, you know, on your core vision and just basically, you know, just moving forward, basically.
Are there any days, you know, you just feel like you're overwhelmed? Like, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to be the marketing guy, you have to be the branding guy, you have to be the accountant, you have to be accounts receivable, accounts payable, you have to be the sales, you have to do the service, you have to be the program. Is there some days where you're just like, you know, the to-do list is like 100 items long and you have time to do 10, you're like, I'm going to drown in this?
That's every day, mate. That's every day, but that's the fun of it, right? I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, that's the fun of it, right?
Absolutely. No, but I mean,
you don't look exhausted or anything, you know. It's like, you know, normally that puts you in a state of exhaustion, but you're looking like fresh and rested, you know. What's up with that?
I don't know. I had a pretty long day at work.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think what's key is about enjoying what you do, right? I mean, you know, people say it is love what you do, do what you love, and I think that's very important. You have to enjoy what you do. You've got to have a passion for what you do. The day if, you know, I wake up in the morning and if I don't have that passion, you know what, then it's all useless, right?
You would keep doing it, though. You're not going to be like, all this cash and this business and everything, I'm not passionate about it. I'm just going to let it go. I think passion's overrated though, right? Because, I mean, for you, maybe you were doing what you love from the beginning, but there's got to be a lot of times where you had to kick your tenacity in because you can't be passionate about all of that stuff. Like, aren't there, there's got to be weeks where you're just pounding out code or doing some monotonous task that you just rather stick a fork in your eye.
I tell you again, I mean, you know, I don't, in terms of the functions, right? I mean, I've got, like, again, I've got a fantastic team. So a lot of the stuff gets done. I think it's more about, as a leader, if you know, as a CEO of the company, it's all about it's more like playing chess, I would say, but it's all about prioritizing what needs to be done in terms of all the various functions in the organization. So, you know, in terms of the product, in terms of the operations, in terms of sales, marketing, finance point of view. So yeah, it's you know, just basically taking along on a daily basis.
This is a story of Faisal Maman, the founder of Illusions. Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're here with Faisal Maman, the founder of Illusions. Faisal, welcome.
Thank you.
You're going to sneeze? He just held his sneeze in for you people.
No, I was just it? Did something.
You
did?
You did something?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Anyway, so for those just joining us, Faisal is a self-made millionaire. He started his company. He's basically never worked for anyone and was kind of a computer programmer messing around and started making software. And then now he's one of the leading providers of IT software or interface web-based solutions for the travel and tourism business, correct?
That's right.
Did I get that right?
That's absolutely right.
Okay. I didn't know because, you know, I'm not a tech guy, so, but I learned what GUI is. not what you may initially think, but it's, what is it, an interface?
A graphical user interface.
Graphical user interface.
Graphical user interface.
Yeah, that's what a GUI is. That's what I thought it was. The first question here from Faras. What would you say the three do's and three don'ts for a startup are?
Okay. Three do's. So, as a startup, right? So you got to keep your costs low. That's important. And get aligned with the best people that basically believe in what you're doing. And that's key. Now, don't just hire people for the sake of hiring. Hire the believers, right? And the third do would be specialize, focus. Don't try and be jack of all trades. Don't just try and be everything to everybody. Focus on whatever it is that you're good at. And on the don'ts, aren't the don'ts just the opposite of the do's, in a way?
So don't have high costs.
Yeah.
Don't be with non-believers.
Just, yeah, don't just hide.
And don't not be focused.
But that's a double negative.
That's like this term you keep using, disillusioned. I don't get it because it's an illusion, it's confusing. You're already confused. And if it's a disillusion, isn't that an unconfuse the confusing so you're not confused anymore?
Is that a question?
Anyway, I'm going to Google it. anyway, nobody comes on the show without being asked the famous what's the secrets to your success question.
Eye on Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
So, Faisal, what's the secret to your success?
Focus, patience, specialize, have a family who can be patient, especially when you're an entrepreneur running your own business. That's very, very key. Surrounding yourself with a fantastic team of people. That's super imperative. I mean, you can be the best, you know, leader, but you need the true followers. And it's like war. You know, you can't win the war without the general or the soldiers being there. You need both. So I think the team and the people are absolutely imperative. And just go out there every day, just doing better of what you do, and differentiate yourself from the rest of the pack. That's basically what it is.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
Wow, so the audience is lighting up here. Someone has said that they have heard a rumor about you, Faisal, that there's I can't read it because there's so many SMSs coming in for I don't know what's going on. So that you're being looked at by a global venture capital company. If so, what will you do afterwards? And is there any truth in the rumor?
Interesting.
Mm.
Mm. Listeners, I bet you really know listening.
Are you about to cash out? You're going to be another like Maktoum?
Nah.
Oh my
God. Nah, I'm not cashing out. But no, we've not yet.
You have to say that.
Not yet. No, we are actually as a company. A big decision has been taken in terms of divesting a minority stake in Illusions, and you're talking, I don't know, 15-20% of the company.
How much is that going for?
I have to kill you if I tell you.
Just ballpark.
No, we're looking
ballpark,
at valuation ballpark. Of Illusions today is between $350-$400 million.
Whoa.
Yeah.
$350 to $400 million.
That's correct.
My God. Let's go back to those do's and don't do's. We can review those. I wrote them down. Keep your costs low. Get aligned with the believers. Specialize in focus. Next stop, $400 million.
There you go, baby.
Yeah. So that's going to be quite a good payday. You're selling 15%.
It's a lot of it goes back in the business, and the idea is basically that it's a very clear expansion plan in terms of global. Basically, we're looking at pretty much a global domination.
You have 80 people, 400 million with 80 people.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, that's just one business, by the way.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, so what's your final advice to anybody out there who wants to, you know, just make $400 million?
Work your beep off.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. PG-13. Thank you. Work hard.
Yeah. I mean, that's a given. You can't just sit there and just basically get to where you want to be just, you know, without hard work and sweat. And the key I think is really you got to have a vision. And you know, we were just talking over the break about strategy. I mean, strategy is something that changes as far as I'm concerned, but it's just making sure that you have a very clear vision that you're always striving towards and then going forward for. So I think that's imperative.
Having that point out on the horizon, your North Star that you just keep marching towards, no matter how dark it gets.
Oh yeah.
No matter how many times you fall down.
Oh yeah.
Was there any time, there was one moment where you did almost actually go bankrupt, right? And then the company at 2007 was not worth $400 million.
No, yeah. No. I tell you what.
How much was the company worth in 2007?
We could barely pay salaries, let me put it that way.
Really? Yeah. So it was like negative. Yes. You would have to pay someone.
I put a lot of my personal funds in, just to keep that business running, sure.
Really, yeah? You were like down and out. You were like broke as a joke 2007, and now you're the man. That's amazing. Yeah. Like 7 years later.
Yeah.
So it takes 7 years of suffering and blood and sweat.
Actually, I counted as 19, all right? I started when I was 19. So it's 90. Well, actually,
19 years, huh?
19. I'm going to turn 40 this year, right? So it's what, 21, man? 21 years. Damn.
21. So that's what it takes, huh? But I think now, though, is that the time it takes to create a business, you know, in the last 8 years has drastically changed.
Yeah.
From the 20th century to the 21st century.
I have to say this, and no matter which business you're in, but especially so in the travel industry, the internet, I think is here to stay. And we all know that. And we all absolutely online all the time. And I think no matter what business, you're in, I think it's very, very imperative to have a very clear strategy as far as the cloud, as far as the web, the net, whatever you want to call it, is concerned. And that's, I think, is where the future is. It's technology. I'm in the best business that I could actually ever ask for, because it's all about technology. Look around you. It's all about technology. So, I think, that's pretty much where the future is headed, I would say.
So, and it all started with the vision. I mean, that's a differentiator, right? I mean, that's your biggest competitive advantage, is when you look at the other guy in 2007 who was sitting in front of a computer and you, is that you had that vision of building a global business. That's one of the differentiators.
Yeah, I think a brand, being global, not just basically being another company where you come from. And I think the key is always, if everybody's going north, you know what? Just look south, and it might just basically be something far down the road that where you'll be the only one standing there with the flag when nobody else is there with you. So that's something that people should think about, really.
Well, Faisal, thank you so much for taking the time out to come down and share your secrets to success with us. It's been really exciting.
It's been a real pleasure being here, Shane. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I hope in 7 years I'm worth $400 million.
You call me.
Yeah, I'll give you a ring.
All right,
guys. Thanks again.
That was Faisal Mamun, the founder of Illusions. You can check him out online. He's sporting his motorcycle and his out there. Relaxed operating style. But there's nothing relaxed about the growth that his business has gone through. Coming up, we have some great guests coming up for you. We have Dr. Brenda, who's going to talk a little bit about what a business degree can do for you. She's with the S.P. Jane School of International Management. And then coming up, we also have another entrepreneur who's been pummeled by the markets, and he's really gone through his highs and lows. He also did go bankrupt as well, came back from nothing. This is the show where, you know, if you're getting pounded, these guys have all been pounded. They came back. We're going to hear the story of Ali Al-Tahir in just a minute.